being yourself for so long that habits of sanity have etched themselves into the brain. I wonder how old he really is, he thought. These assassins are cunning creatures, said Dios. Have a care of him. There was a crash beside the priest. Petrucci had tried to throw a camel prod and missed. When everyone looked back, Tepic had vanished. The guards beside him were busy collapsing slowly to the floor, groaning. Dios smiled. Take the woman, he snapped, and the captain darted forward and grabbed Petrucci, who hadn't made any attempt to run away. Dios bent down and picked up the prod. There are more guards outside, he said. I am sure you will realize that. It will be in your interests to step forward. Why? Said Tepic from the shadows. He fumbled in his boot for his blowpipe. You will then be thrown to the sacred crocodiles by order of the king, said Dios. Something to look forward to, eh? Said Tepic, feverishly screwing bits together. It would certainly be preferable to many alternatives, said Dios. In the darkness, Tepic ran his fingers over the little coded knobs on the darts. Most of the really spectacular poisons would have evaporated or dissolved into harmlessness by now, but there were a number of lesser potions designed to give their clients nothing more than a good night's sleep. An assassin might have to work his way to an inhumee past a number of alert bodyguards. It was considered impolite to inhume them as well. You could let us go, said Tepic. I suspect that's what you want, isn't it? For me to go away and never come back? That suits me fine. Dios hesitated. You're supposed to say, and let the girl go, he said. Oh, yes, and that too, said Tepic. No, I would be failing in my duty to the king, said Dios. Oh, for goodness sake, Dios, you know I am the king. No, I have a very clear picture of the king. You are not the king, said the priest. Tepic peered over the edge of the camel stall. The camel peered over his shoulder. And then the world went mad. All right, madder. All the pyramids were blazing now, filling the sky with their sooty light as the brothers Pataclusp struggled to the main working platform. 2A collapsed on the planking, wheezing like an elderly bellows. A few feet away, the sloping side was hot to the touch, and there was no doubt in his mind now that the pyramid was creaking like a sailing ship in a gale. He had never paid much attention to the actual mechanics, as opposed to the cost, of pyramid construction, but he was pretty certain that the noise was as wrong as 2 and 2, making 5. His brother reached out to touch the stone, but drew his hand back as small sparks flashed around his fingers. You can feel the warmth, he said. It's astonishing. Why? Heating up a mass like this. I mean, the sheer tonnage. I don't like it, 2B, 2A quavered. Let's just leave the stone here, shall we? I'm sure it'll be all right, and in the morning we can send a gang up here, and they'll know exactly what... His words were drowned out as another flare crackled across the sky and hit the column of dancing air 50 feet above them. He grabbed part of the scaffolding. "Sod take this," he said. "I'm off." "Hang on a minute," said 2B. "I mean, what is creaking? Stone can't creak." "The whole bloody scaffolding is moving. Don't be daft!" He stared goggled-eyed at his brother. "Tell me it's the scaffolding," he pleaded. "No, I'm certain this time. It's coming from inside." They stared at one another, and then at the rickety ladder leading up to the tip, or to where the tip should be. "Come on," said 2B. "It can't flare off. It's trying to find ways of discharging." There was a sound as loud as the groaning of continents. Tepic felt it. He felt that his skin was several sizes too small. He felt that someone was holding his ears and trying to twist his head off. He saw the guard captain sag to his knees, fighting to get his helmet off, and he leapt the stall. Tried to leap the stall. Everything was wrong, and he landed heavily on a floor that seemed undecided about becoming a wall. He managed to get to his feet and was pulled sideways, dancing awkwardly across the stable to keep his balance. The stables stretched and shrank like a picture in a distorting mirror. He'd gone to see some once in Ankh, the three of them hazarding a half coin each, to visit the transient marvels of Dr. Mooner's travelling Take Your Breath Away Emporium. But you knew then that it was only twisted glass that was giving you a head like a sausage and legs like footballs. Tepic wished he could be so certain that what was happening around him would allow of such a harmless explanation. You probably need a wobbly glass mirror to make it look normal. He ran on taffy legs towards Petracci and the High Priest, as the world was expanded and squeezed around him, and was momentarily gratified to see the girl squirm in Dios's grip and fetch him a tidy thump